Okay, good evening to everyone. I'm glad to meet with you today on this another day that the Lord has made. It's a little, took me a little while to get going, but here we are, right on God's time. I'm glad to see each one of you right on time as well. As you know, this class is come when you can, if you can. Be here every right on time every week, that's fine. If you're not able to be here right on time, that's fine as well. Come when you can. Most of you know it. My name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class. And I am pleased to meet with you on each and every Sunday. I have great joy in meeting with the class. So today we will be studying from Luke chapter 18. That is our main passage of scripture. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 27 is our main passage of scripture. We will, of course, like we always do in the class in prayer, we also will have a time of intercessory prayer for one to be led by one person within the class. So I'm going to ask someone may already feel led to do that. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, praising you and giving you glory, Lord, and saying hallelujah to your name, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. We praise you, Lord God. There is none, nobody like you. And we just want to say hallelujah to you, glory to your name, Lord. We thank you. And we praise you. We give glory to God the Father. We give glory to God the Son. We give glory to God the Spirit. We bless you, Lord God, the three in one. We thank you, Lord God, for saving our souls. We thank you, Lord God, for saving us through the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done for us. Without you and without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we would be lost, Lord God. So we want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for coming to see about sinners like us. We want to praise your holy name. We'll be saying hallelujah forever and forever for saving us, Lord God. We can never thank you enough. We praise you. And now as we come before you in the name of Jesus, we ask you now to be our teacher. You are our teacher. We acknowledge you as the teacher. We acknowledge the Son of God. We acknowledge the Son of God as our intercessor. We acknowledge the Son of God. We thank you as our great high priest. We acknowledge you, Lord God, in every way that we can. We praise you. And now, Lord, we ask you to be our teacher. I can't teach, and you know that, Lord. I do the best that I can, but teaching is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. I just am a vessel, that's all. Just a vessel to be used by you. I ask you, though, use me in thy service. And now, Lord, if there's anything that we need cleansing from, if there's anything, Lord God, that stands in the way of us and thee, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. We ask you to do this now, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad to see each one of you. As I have said before, I could not be with you on last week, but I know God's word goes on. God's word always goes on, with or without us. God's word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And even after I've left this earth, God's word will still be marching on. But I'm glad to be with you this evening. I want to say thank you for being mature enough that you can go on without Velma. Just go on without Velma. I want to be here, as most of you know, but sometimes I cannot be here, especially nowadays. But I want to be here as much as possible. I want to continue to ask you to keep me in prayer. Keep me in prayer as I keep you in prayer. Today we're going to continue in Luke chapter 18. And let us, first of all, just peruse Luke 18. Not going to spend a lot of time with it, but let's look at Luke 18. And we see in Luke 18, starts out with this parable. And the parable tells us, very important parable, it tells us that we should always pray. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. There's a lot said in that one sentence parable. We should always pray. And then the scripture goes on to give us three parables about praying. First of all, we have the parable in verse 18, verse 1. We have this parable here about praying. And then in verse 19, the parable goes on. In verse 19, another parable continues in verse 19. And it's about some people trusting in themselves. And that's what that parable is all about. Some people trusting in themselves. And so we can see what these parables are about.
That was in verse 9.
Okay. Some people trusting in themselves. And now we're going to move on to verse 15. And in verse 15, thank you, Sister Lana, for filling in for me on last week.
Yes, ma'am.
I think Lana's here.
Yes, ma'am.
But thank you, Sister Lana, as well as all the others who played any part. In verse 15, Jesus talks about these infants. And he, even though it's a short verse per se, it is a very important verse, very important, because it tells us in verse 15 that they brought also infants to him, that they might touch him. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. Well, that's an important verse there, because Jesus has already let us know you can't get into the kingdom of God unless you come as a little child. So it's very important that we humble ourselves and we come as little children. So verse 15, they brought to him these infants that he might touch them. And Jesus loves little children. He loves children. And the Bible has a lot to say about children. But it has a lot to say about children, including some things that are not so good. So that's a study that would be worth studying. But by and large, much to say about children. These parents who brought these children to the Lord Jesus Christ, their desire was that he might touch them. They wanted to bring their children to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to touch them. They had a desire for Jesus to lay his hands upon them. And that's where it starts. That's where good parenting starts. It's with having one's hands laid by the touch of Jesus Christ. So that's where in verse 15, they also brought infants to him that they might touch him. But when the disciples saw him, well, what is that it? That it is that Jesus was laying Jesus was laying his hands upon these disciples. Did I say that right? Jesus was
on the children.
Of the children. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. So Jesus had something to say to the parents. Jesus had something to say also to the children. Verse 16, Jesus called them to him and said, let, and there's a correction. Jesus corrected them right on the spot. He corrected them and let them know, parent and adult. He let them know publicly. He let them know that he did not like that. He corrected it right away. And Jesus, that's what Jesus does. And that's what good parenting does as well. So Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. Now those are big words there. Jesus said, if you don't receive it as a little child, the kingdom, then you cast yourself out. You won't enter in yourself. So we have to humble ourselves before God, and then that's the entrance way to heaven. So now let's move on. Is our Sister Galvin with us this evening?
Yes.
Okay. Sister Galvin, I'm going to ask you to read, and I'm not quite sure how we're going to do the reading yet, whether one verse or several, but let's start and see how it goes. Okay.
Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God.
Amen. Okay, now let's look at this verse little by little here. Now we're talking about a certain ruler. And of course, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Most of you know that. A certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life. Well, first of all, we see, what do we see in this verse? Well, we find out that there is a ruler, a man of position, a man of some authority. He was a ruler. I don't know exactly what position he was in, but he was a ruler. And this ruler asked him, saying, "What, good teacher, good teacher?" So he's acknowledging the Lord as putting him in a position of authority, putting him in a position of respect, and calls him good teacher. Well, that's a good thing, you know, right there, just stopping right there. We would say that's a good thing. I would hope that you would say that of me, and I would say that of you, for those of you who that this fits your role, that you would say good teacher. For all of us that are teachers of God's word, and that does not necessarily mean Sunday school teacher. It can mean that.
What should I do to inherit eternal life?
But it can mean so much more. But he starts out saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So we know, if nothing else, we know based on these words right here that he says, what shall I do? Now there's a I do in there. So we're going to know, well, you know already, if there's a I do, well, then he's a teacher. And what is he doing? Well, he's teaching. That's what he's doing. Well, evidently, he's a good teacher. At least in the evaluation of this man, he was a good teacher. Well, we could say, well, what made him a good teacher? Well, what made him a good teacher, at least from this one verse here, he has good questions to ask. And, you know, good students have good questions to ask. They're listening. They're inquiring. They want to know. Many times, you know, and I'm taking it sincerely, that they want to know, not to tease or not to make light of, but they sincerely want to know answers. So they said, good teacher, what shall I do? To what shall I do? Now notice that I do. I there's something I must do. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, that's a loaded question right there. That's a loaded question right there. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, what's loaded about that question? And I'm just taking it little by little, piece by piece. Well, first of all, it says, he asks, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, we know, some of us know, based on Bible study and based on walking with the Lord, that we know what can we do to inherit eternal life. What would be one answer or several answers that someone would give to that simple question? Anyone? What shall
accept the Lord as your personal savior?
Okay, that's a good answer. Accept the Lord.
Follow God's commandments.
Follow God's commandments. What else shall we do to inherit eternal life?
Nothing.
Do nothing. And why did you say nothing?
Because it's nothing we can do. It's already been done.
It's already been done. Now that's a good answer. And that ultimately is the answer on one hand. It's already been done. The work has been done by Jesus Christ, the Lord. And the ultimate gift that we can do, the ultimate thing, is we accept the gift that has been given. We receive the gift that has been given. But if someone came to you and they don't know all this, you know, and still in the Old Testament here, and they're still wanting to know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, we would tell them to inherit eternal life. Now, that's a big thing right there. Inherit eternal life. You know, what do you do to inherit eternal life? Well, that you could flip it off so easily with the tongue, but it's not so easy as it may sound. On the other hand, everlasting life is free. The Lord gives it freely. But he says to inherit, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Well, you might be taken aback at that question, at that answer, because you would say, well, Jesus had an answer for this man. Jesus said to him, why are you calling me good? And we might say, well, I mean, you are good, aren't you? You know, that's something someone would say. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But this man said, Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Well, I'm going to ask someone else. What answer could you give to that? Why do you call God good?
Is he? I'd say because he dies so that I can live.
Say it again, Sister Catherine.
He died so that I could live.
Okay, and that is a good answer. He died so that I could live. Is that good? What's that good of God?
That's awesome. But I would say good, meaning he is the Son of God.
Okay, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Now, Sister Sharon, when you said that, you're entering into now something else, because it says, why do you call me good? Well, first, we have to say, why do we call God good? Well, I call God good, and keep in mind, this is based on a scripture, based on reading the Bible, based on being versed in the Bible. But he said, Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God. No one is good but God. But no one is good but one, that is God. Did I read that right? No one is good but one, that is God. You all got to help me here. Did I read that right?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So you would think that the Lord Jesus would come back, because this answer that the Lord gave, you wouldn't expect that answer, not ordinarily. You wouldn't expect that Jesus would come back and say, no one is good but one, and that is God. Well, that's not what we would expect the Lord Jesus to say. We would expect him to say, God is good. We would expect him to say, God is good all the time. God is nothing but good. Is that true? Well, of course that's true. God is good. So then why is it that Jesus would say, no one is good? Why would Jesus say, no one is good but God? Can Jesus lie? Is there a contradiction in Jesus? Anybody wants to answer?
Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Okay, we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And so based on your answer, was that Sister Catherine?
It's Kathy.
Kathy Piper.
Kathy. Kathy, that said, none is good. Is that what you said? None is good, but one, and that is God. Is that the answer you gave?
Well, I think you asked, why would he ask that? And so none of us is good except God, because we're all sinners, is all I meant.
Okay, and that is true, because God is good. God alone is good. And we are all sinners. No one is good but God. And now Jesus, he's going to, when we get through with these verses, we're seeing what is the motive of Jesus. What is he after? What is he seeking? Well, he's seeking the heart of this rich young ruler. He's after the heart of a man that Jesus knew all along, that this man, he had, I won't say a divided heart, but he had, he wasn't really, should I say, pure in heart? Well, was he pure in heart? Because it says here, no one is good, but one is good, and that is God. And you know the commandments. You know the commandments. You know that you do not commit adultery. You do not commit. You do not murder. You do not steal. You do not bear false witness. You do not honor. You honor your father and your mother. Well, was that true? Did he know that, this man that Jesus just said, you know the commandments? Was that indeed true?
Mm-hmm. He answered yes.
He answered yes. He answered yes. It could be a partial answer, but he grew up in school. He grew up, you know, from a child, knowing the correct answer. Like, you know, many of us, not everyone, have grown up knowing the answer to questions in Sunday school. We've grown up knowing all these answers. We've grown up knowing the Ten Commandments. We've grown up knowing these things. And so I kind of picture it like this man, he knew the commandments. He knew all of that shouldn't commit adultery, shouldn't murder, shouldn't steal, shouldn't bear false witness, and you should not kill. So Jesus said, when he said that, the man said, and these things, and he said to him, all of these things I have kept from my youth up. Is that true? Was that true? He said it was true.
Yeah. You think it's true?
Huh? I think he was Sharon, self-deceived.
He was self-deceived. He was self-deceived on one hand, but I would also say he had done all these things in light of keeping the law, you know, in light of the Jewish commandments, in light of, you know, he wasn't perfect, of course, but he had done these things. And he said, that's why he could say, all these things I have kept from my youth up. Well, couldn't someone else add on to that? What else would you have to say to that?
It seems like it's really speaking of the heart of the matter, who you really love. You know, why did you not murder someone? Why did you not steal? You know, why were you not a false witness? Mm-hmm. Why are you honoring your father and mother? It's not just the deed, but the heart of why we do what God is directing us to do, which talks about, you know, how the scripture says you everyone has a master, either be God or famine. I'm not sure what scripture that is.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Yes, I think that his words go to deeds and works and what all he had done. But Christ was looking for surrender. You know, give up everything and take up your cross and follow me. And when it came to total surrender, that's where he failed the test. Yes, he could do works.
Yeah,
he could do works, but could he accept what God really wanted, which was surrender? Give up everything, deny yourself, and take up your cross and follow me. And when he told him to do that, he was unable to do so.
Right, exactly. Because the Lord here, moving on here, the man said, he could say, and he said, all these things, I have done that. I've kept all these things from my youth up. So what do you mean? Well, you know, and no doubt, and there are plenty of people like that today that think they have kept God's commandments. They think they've done all that God required of them to do. But Jesus said, and he said, the man said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. So when Jesus heard these things, now once again here, Jesus came to shed light. He came to give light. He came to give truth. He's not going to let a lie slip under. He's not going to, you know, he's going to tell the truth. And he came that we might know the truth. So Jesus said, when Jesus heard these things that this man said, he said to him, sell, you still lack one thing. You still lack one thing. But we would say, well, that's doing pretty good, just lacking one thing. But the Lord said, you still lack one thing. Well, we would say 99 and a half won't do. Not with the Lord. He says, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. Distribute to the poor and come follow me. Come follow me. Someone has to help me here. And come follow me.
That's the end of that verse, 22.
That's the end of that verse, 22. Well, let me reread 22. So when Jesus heard these things, he said, one thing have you lacked. One thing you still lack. One thing. Sell what you have. Okay, that's that one thing that you lack. Sell what you have. Sell it. Get rid of it. Sell what you have. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. And come and follow me. And come and follow me into heaven. And come follow me.
You will have heaven.
Okay. Now there's quite a few things in there. Let's dissect and see what all is in this verse. Okay, verse 22. Jesus said to him, come. Jesus heard what?
These things.
Jesus heard these things. Okay. Now, what are these things? from this verse? What are these things?
He said that he's kept those commandments.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the young ruler was saying.
Okay, but he also said, you lack one thing.
You still lack one thing.
You lack one thing. Now that's important to know. You've done this and that and the other, but you lack one thing. And then the Lord's going to tell him what one thing that he lacks. And he tells him, sell all that you have. Sell all that you have and distribute
to the poor.
And distribute to the poor. So you got to give. You got to depart from what you have, and you got to give to the poor. And you will have. The Lord said, you're not going to lack. You're not going to go without. And now this is, you might think you're going to go without. It may seem like you're going to go without. And indeed, to some degree, you may go without. But Jesus, if you give all for Jesus, you're not going to lack. If you give for him, you will not lack. So he says, come, follow me. And you will have treasure in heaven. Treasure. Now you see what has happened? Who were we talking about to begin with? What person were we talking about?
The rich young ruler
who had all these riches. He had all these riches. And Jesus has more. Jesus has more than we could ask or even think. So Jesus lets him know, well, I got more than that, because the main thing is to have me. The main thing, this world is going to pass away. This world and all the things of this world are going to pass away, and you're not going to be able to take it with you. Come, follow me. But I tell you what, you will not lose. You will not lose. Now, the world system will have you to think that you're going to lose. You know, if I do this, well, I won't. If I do this, then I won't be as popular with people. If I do this, I'm not going to, people won't like me as much. There's a whole lot of things that people will say, but the gist of it is the world system and the world and the Lord, the Lord wants us to follow him at all costs. Follow him, whether it costs you the world, whether it costs you earthly treasures, whether it costs you, and it does say, you got to follow me. You got to follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. Now, we could say, amen. Yeah, that sounds good. And it does sound good, but it's a cross to be borne too. It's to follow Jesus. You got to take up your cross and follow him. It doesn't come at no cost. It really requires everything to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It requires your heart, your mind, your soul, your everything to follow him. Now, if you have a willing heart to follow the Lord, he will help us. He does help us. Thank God he helps us. It's him that gives us the will. It's him that gives us the desire to want to follow him in the first place. So this man here, when he heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have. Distribute to the poor. You will have treasure. You will have treasure in heaven. Now think about that. How many people think about treasure in heaven? I mean, do you ever think about treasure in heaven? Anybody ever think about your treasure in heaven? Do you think you have treasure in heaven? Are you sure you have treasure in heaven? How do I get to that treasure in heaven? How do you get to that treasure in heaven? Anyone? I mean, the Bible says you will have treasure in heaven. Any thoughts on that?
It's about life after death, eternal life. It's about treasuring the relationship with Jesus Christ and the Lord over the wealth that we have today. Because to, like this rich young ruler was worshiping his wealth and all that he has. He was like worshiping a idol god because he wasn't looking to the after life. It's about the eternal life after death. And he would be with Christ. He was prioritizing all that he had in his wealth than to being with God in the end.
Amen. Amen. That's so true there.
In addition, you know, when you talk about treasures in heaven, I think about the rewards that God has promised. And it doesn't have anything to do with our salvation, but he's going to reward us for the works we've done on this side of heaven and witnessing and winning souls. And I think about the crown and the jewels or what have you. But that's interesting. I guess I really never thought about the treasure, because for me, the treasure is just getting there.
Amen. Amen.
That is true.
Making it in.
Yeah, that is true. But it's a great thing to know that Jesus said, you ain't going to lose now. You will have treasure in heaven. I mean, that's the great incentive. Follow me. I'm the prize, as it were. I'm the one that's going to give you treasure. Jesus is our treasure. He is our everything. But all of us are to some degree are conformed to this world. You know, we're worldly minded, some more so than others. Some have, you know, depending on how they've been raised and what they've been taught and everything, all kinds of things. But we come into this world conformed to this world. Well, we have to be not conformed to this world. That's what the Lord said. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're not to be conformed, but yet we are conformed to this world, because that's how we came into this world. We came conformed. And the work of Christianity, the work of us Christian ministry, I would say, is to be like Jesus. Christian ministry is about unconforming us, teaching us how to live like Jesus, teaching us how to be act like him, talk like him, all of those things. And it takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to do it. Any other comments?
And you were asking us to think about our treasures in heaven, and you'll need to help me with this. But I was thinking about when you were teaching in Revelation, and it's probably throughout all the Bible, many of the things that some of us do, we may be thinking we may not be doing it for the right reason. And many of those things are just going to burn up, not going to amount to very much when God takes a look at all the things that we said we did this and I did that, and da-da-da-da. But half or most of it may burn up. It is the true treasures, the true things that we have done for the sake of Christ and to help our fellow man that really is the treasure in heaven. And also, one other thing there, teacher, you'll correct me. This, on this parable where he's talking about the rich young ruler, I'm thinking about myself, or the way I'm picturing it, it could be any of us. And we may not have all them dollar riches, but we may have something else taking the place of being an idol god, but you got to get rid of it. There should be nobody, nothing between us and Christ. We mm-hmm. must follow him. But he told us, it was stated in one of the verses in Luke earlier, we got to deny home, mother, father, wife, brother, and all of that. So these riches can't be nothing else. Can't be my car. Can't be my name. Can't be the title. Can't be where I was raised or where I went to school. But all of that's got to go. That's, and I've said enough, but teacher, I'm sure you have some you can correct me on.
Well, yeah, that's true. Jesus goes to the heart of the matter with the man. He lets this man know, you got to deny everything to follow me. You have to, and the man, verse 22, and I would say his question was sincere. It was a sincere question, but he didn't want to hear this question. He didn't want to hear the answer. And when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, all these things you lack, all you still lack. One thing, sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and come and follow me. And see, that's what, I don't want to hear that. You know, you got to sell all and come and follow me. Come and follow me. Now, that's the cross. I mean, that's the cross of the matter. That's the crux of the matter. You've got to distribute all, sell all that you have, and come follow me. And that's what Jesus is after from all of us, is following him. Now, this is a lifetime commitment. We fall, we stumble, we mess up, we ain't got it perfect. Amen. I know Sister Velma has not gotten this perfect, but I am on the road. I have decided, you all heard the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross behind me, the cross behind me. Is that how the song goes? The cross behind me and something before me. The cross behind me. And somebody knows that song, the cross behind me,
the cross before me, the world behind me,
the cross before me, and
yes, the world behind me,
behind me. And that should be our daily thing, is the cross behind, the cross before me, the world behind us.
Yes.
That is a lifetime requirement. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, and you find out, this is where you're going to lose a lot of people. You're going to lose a lot of people here, because that cross hurts. That cross says you got to give up everything. The cross says you got to love me more than these. So that's what's required, what Jesus requires of all of us. And then he says in verse 24, when Jesus...
Sister Velma, if I could just add sure. something, because you got me thinking about what the currency of heaven would be. You know, you talk about treasure in heaven, because it's going to be a totally different system than here on earth. I mean, that in itself, I mean, just dig it into that,
mm-hmm.
because I, And I believe some of the other sisters were talking about what our purpose really is in helping others get saved. What if our currency is in the love that we shared while we were here on earth and sharing the word of God, and that maybe perhaps love is the currency in heaven? I think that's just a wonderful thought, because we know that it's not going to be coins and dollars.
No.
Not with roads made out of gold, paved in gold.
Yeah, the currency will be different in heaven, you know. And God's way of measuring things, verse 26. First of all, he lets us know, I think I skipped a verse, verse 25, for it is easier. Oh, verse 24. For Jesus saw that the man became sorrowful. Okay, now this man got sad. He got sorrowful. Well, why did he get sorrowful? Because he was already rich. So that lets you know what? Riches don't satisfy. He had everything money could desire. He had everything heart could desire. He had it all. He was a rich man. But when he heard what Jesus had to say, he became sorrowful, for he was very rich. He didn't want to give up his riches. He was very rich. And then he had to make a choice. Am I going to love God more? Or am I going to love these riches more? And that's a real choice people have to make. It boils down to, who do you love more, me or these? Me, Jesus says, me, do you love me more? Or do you love, and that whatever could be whatever? You have to choose him. And then verse 24, when Jesus saw that, he became very sorrowful. For how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Now see, that tells you right there. People with riches, and there are people with riches that are in the kingdom of God. But the Bible says here how hard it is. It's a hard thing for people with riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Why is it? Because they got so many stumbling blocks, so many things in the way. You know, think of the rich man. I mean, he had all this stuff and he couldn't get in. How hard it is. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now you all think of, and I know, you know, the allegories and everything that's been said about the eye of a needle, but you just think of the eye of a needle. And we know the eye of a needle is the eye of the needle. You know, do you all know what the eye of the needle is? Anyone?
Well, you put the thread in.
The fact that some of them are even, they even make large eyes, but it's still
an eye of a needle.
It's small.
And mm-hmm. Jesus said how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a big old camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now you all know that's pretty hard. You know, you ain't gonna get a camel through an eye of a needle. And Jesus said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of an evil man to enter the kingdom of God. So mm-hmm. rich people, this could be, I don't want to say a curse, but this could be something that is a hindrance to rich people being born rich. You know, and you've heard this on TV, and maybe some of you have experienced it, where you've won a lot of money, but then you found out that became a stumbling block. Those very riches became a stumbling block, not to everyone, but it very well can become a stumbling block. And so then the disciples said, verse 26, who then can be saved? I mean, who can be saved then? Because, you know, the disciples, they had some riches. They had some possessions with them. And so they wanted to know who then. Now, the disciples, too, also were required to take up everything they had and follow Jesus. Who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? If the rich can't make it in, who then can be saved? But God comes around and he says, it is possible with God. All the things which are impossible with man are possible
with God.
Yeah. I hope I read that right.
Yes.
So still the answer comes back. If anyone wants to be saved, really wants to be saved, they can be saved. God has made it possible for whosoever will, be he rich, be he poor, be he whatever, whoever really desires can be saved. But the requirements are the same. You have to take up your cross and follow me. And that's the requirement that Jesus gave to those disciples. And he also gives to us. You have to follow me. So that's our class for tonight. This evening, next week, Lord willing, we will continue in Luke 28.
Chapter 18.
18.
Okay. That's where we will continue. I'm not quite sure at what verse, because we'll be talking about the same topic. Anything else, anyone?
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Beautiful lesson. Thank you.
Before your prayer and before the one person that's going to volunteer to pray for you, I'm still thinking about this rich person, but an example also, I'll just say for myself, and I don't have no riches, but I can't put anything, my car, my name, where I live, where I was raised, nothing. You got to just get rid of it all. Nothing should come between. There should be no other God.
Amen.
There can be no other God.
Amen.
But the riches was an example. But think about things day to day. You see people putting in the place that belongs to God.
Amen. Amen.
Can't be a certain color. Can't be a certain car. It can't be a certain place where you live or nothing like that.
Nothing.
You have to put it all down. You got
Amen. To. Well, yeah. Our time is up for today. Yes. We're going to end this portion of our lesson. If anyone desires to continue in intercessory prayer, we will. So let's do that now. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord God, to come before thy throne of grace in prayer. We offer our supplications. unto you. We thank you that you are our God, and we can take everything to you in prayer. We ask you now to be with our brothers and sisters and keep us all in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Beautiful.
So I'm going to ask, did someone offer to pray for us one prayer of intercessory, and we pray especially for me, for Velma, as she goes through this hour of trial. And I think most of you can tell that I am in an hour of trial. But God answers prayer.
I'll pray, so, Sister Velma.
Thank you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we join hands in this virtual class right now, Father. Our minds and our hearts are fixed on a request, dear God, to in lifting up our teacher, Lord, Sister Velma, Lord, asking you, Lord, to heal her, strengthen her, restore her, encourage her, walk with her, Lord, through all of this, dear God. Put your loving arms around her, dear God. Lord, we ask, Father, that you would give her courage and strength, dear God. We know, Lord, that there is nothing impossible for you, dear God. Father, she has put her treasure on you. And she is our teacher and has been for many years, dear God. She's sold out for Christ, dear God. So we petition you, Lord. You told us to come to you with thanksgiving and supplication and petitions, dear God. And so we, Lord, unworthily, Lord, but because of your Son, Jesus Christ, we can come. We can come as your children. Lord, we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are raining down your healing right now. And we receive it, dear God. And whatever this week holds for Sister Velma, whether it's testing, dear God, whether it's sickness, dear God, we pray, Father, that you would strengthen her and walk through this room with her, dear God. Deliver her whole and safe and healed on the other side, dear God. We lift up everyone else who's going through this situation, Lord, even on this call, even in this world, dear God. Because we know, Lord, and we rest on your promise that nothing is impossible for
nothing
God.
Nothing is impossible.
And we thank you, Lord, thank for you. This wonderful class.
Thank you,
lift up
God.
Everyone on the call, asking you to do miracles, signs, and wonders this week and in our lives, Lord, in 2022. We ask it and we claim it done in Jesus' name.
Name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you. Excellent prayer. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you. Yes. Thank you for your prayer.
You,
have a beautiful week.
Yes. Thank you.
In the Lord.
To God be the glory.
We love you.
To God be the glory.
Lord.
Love to everyone.
Yeah.
God bless you.
We have
thank
a victory.
You.
Thank you.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
God bless. Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you for the class.
And
amen.
Miss Velma, we had Ruby and Miss Sadie also praying for you here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. I need every prayer.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
you. Continue
thank
to lift you up. Be encouraged.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for your strong testimony, Sister
Thank
Velma.
You,
thank you.
Yes, you've shown perseverance, and that is a testimony. It gives us all strength to know that we can do because you continue to do, and we know it's with the help of God.
Amen.
We thank you.
Thank
we love you.
Love you,
and
too.
Bless
you.
God
bless you.
Thank you, Sister Lana. Thank you, everybody.
I'm trying to find the right key, you all. Let's see. Recording. Sister Lana, I saw that pretty smile. God bless you. I love you all.
God bless you too.
Thank you. Thank you. I guess I'll just hit stop since I can't figure out what I'm doing.
Thank you, Lord.
God bless everyone.
Oh, yeah. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. You all gonna tarry with me?
Help her, Lord. Help her, Lord. Mr. Marsha, what she need to do?
Hit stop recording.
You all know I know how to do this.
Yeah, help the Lord God. Help the Lord.
Okay. This is Marsha.
Yes, I'm trying to get in to stop it for you. Okay, it looks like it stopped. I don't see anything.
Okay. I don't see anything either, so I am going to.
It says it's still recording, but.
Yeah. So I am going to. Okay.
Just end meeting for all.
Okay. Can you do that?
It doesn't, it's not showing on my end.
Okay. All right. And.
Okay, here it is. Okay.
Recording in progress.
Yeah. The.
Okay, I got the.